following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Get ready for winter driving at CarQuest Auto Parts. Peak Long Life 50-50 pre-diluted antifreeze and coolant is just $9.99 per gallon after $3 mail-in rebate. Peak Long Life full-strength antifreeze and coolant is $11.99 after $3 mail-in rebate. Get Castrol conventional motor oil starting at just $4.99 per quart. Nearly one out of every four vehicles needs a new battery. CarQuest offers a complete selection. See store for details now through January 26th at participating CarQuest Auto Parts locations.
Do you have a used or vintage musical instrument at home gathering dust? Guitar Center's experts are interested in buying it from you now through Sunday. You don't even need to be a musician. Look in attics and basements because we'll pay you top dollar for qualified guitars, amps, pedals, keyboards, drums, and more. It's the Used and Vintage Gear Expo at your local Guitar Center now through Sunday. Looking to upgrade? We'll buy qualified used and vintage gear and give you a 15% discount on new gear. You can even trade gear. Find details and your local store at Guitar Center.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sippel, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnip, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on this first Monday of December. Doug Duda, Monty Kratzenstein, Mike Will, all with you today, at least at the start of the program for a little while on the Doug and Daddy Show. And we look forward to you joining us as well today. Whether you want to give us a call, whether you want to Facebook us, whether you want to email us, we'll take any of them. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Of course, the Dent Popper inbox, home of the Armor Lining. Go see the gang on the bricks in downtown Kearney, and the email address douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. And of course, the Facebook is Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. You can go to espnsuperstation.com and find the Facebook page there as well. But we are ready for this Monday edition, and man, what a great run. One of the greatest runs, Monty, in Husker history, Taylor Martinez. What a great Saturday.
Let's talk about that run for the next hour. What do you think?
There were some of the guys saying that covered the Huskers. It was the greatest one they've ever seen. I immediately compared it to the Crouch run against Missouri, and a lot of the Fox analysts that we were chatting with on the sidelines said the same thing. But the bottom line is this football game is over, and I don't think anyone saw this coming.
Oh, I totally agree. I just want you to know, I come in the studio today and I brought lots of different hats. So I'm taking your guidance here. Do you want me to be the Husker apologist and want to defend Bo Pelini and to be the Yeah But guy? Do you want me to be the Fire 'Em All guy? You know,
I don't want anybody to be the Fire 'Em All guy.
Okay. Do you want me to be the rational, talk the fans off the ledge kind of guy? Give the pros and the cons. I can be anything, Doug. Here, let's go.
I like the first one. Mike Will joining us as we're back from Indianapolis, where everything here's what I said Saturday or Sunday. We're all in the airport. Sean Callahan and all the Husker folks are getting ready to go back on their charter. Folks are flying to Atlanta, to Memphis, to Houston, to Chicago, trying to get their connections to go in to Omaha and then get back to their final destination, like for us, Kearney and Hastings. But Mike, like I told everybody Sunday morning, hey, everything was great until 7:30 Saturday night.
Yeah, we had a great 24-hour period there where everything was just fine. In fact, we had a good week in Indianapolis all week long. The Husker fans were all there hooting it up all week long, and then after the ball game, they were pretty quiet, weren't they?
Well, and there's reason to be, and that's fine. Husker fans, for the most part, stuck it out. I mean, you're in Indianapolis. Why leave early? Even though I know some folks did. why? What's the point? Stick around, watch the game. I know it was painful. But I guess, Mike, with the maybe 36 hours now to kind of let it all soak in, what stuck out to you about the game?
Well, I don't know. You know, a lot of people you were talking about to fire the coach and clean house and get rid of that and get rid of that. You know, be careful what you ask for. Remember what we had before. Be careful of what you ask for. It wasn't the coach's fault. Yeah, it was not the coach's fault. The players did not make the plays. Sooner or later, the players need to step up and take some of the responsibility for the performance they put on the field on a Saturday. They were in right, for the most part, they were in the right position to make plays.
Monty
they simply got outplayed and didn't make the tackle. You were there. Make the tackle.
It looked way too much like UCLA and Ohio State. And I'll get to some of my thoughts about how this happened or how this could have been the setup. And good job by Wisconsin. They played outstanding football. But, Monty, you're a former player. You know, the players want to take responsibility. The coaches want to take responsibility. In your mind, how could this have happened after the team was actually in the defense was playing so well? They knew they had to run the ball. Nebraska knew that Wisconsin had to run the ball to win.
Oh, I know, and I would love to pull out an answer and in my note card and say, well, this is why it happened, Doug. And you know, unfortunately, as fans, people want that answer. They want black. They want white. Mm-hmm. You know, over the last couple of days, I've tried to figure out. You know, rewatched a lot of different things, and you know, you think about: is it scheme? Is it motivation? Is it the attitude of the team? Is it the effort? Is it the coaching? Is it the talent level? You know, all those things, and I can honestly say that I cannot pinpoint one thing, and I don't think anybody can. If you listen to Bo Pelini at that post the press conference afterwards, you know, he was shocked and stunned as anybody, and you know, reporter's job is to ask him what happened. Well, I can tell you what happened. I can give you a lot of things of what happened. I can't tell you why. And that's the million-dollar question that everybody's saying is, why did it happen? I don't know. I don't have an answer. I have some different theories about all those different things as far as schemes and coaching and all that other thing, but.
Guys, here's one thing that I guess has kind of come back to me. P.J. Smith and Kyler Reed were the elected, or they were the volunteers to go up as the player representatives. I mean, there was no Taylor Martinez, there was no Rex Burkhead, and that happened outside. There was plenty of availability. But those were the two that came up. And the question finally came up, were you guys overconfident? And I'll take that to the next level. They had a hard time answering that because I think they wanted to say we were confident but weren't overconfident. I think that's the point. And, Mike, I said this to you. Nebraska, since the Ohio State game, the pressure was on to get to the Big Ten championship, to win out, to win those six in a row. And, my goodness, those games were hard. Many comebacks, a rough game against Iowa, and they had to win every single one of those football games. It appears to me, guys, and, Mike, I'll go to you first, that maybe the goal was achieved – and that was getting to the championship, and I know the goal was to win the championship, but I just think there was a different mindset going into this week's game.
I don't know. They talked about finishing off and making this, finishing off the deal. They were looking forward to this ball game. I'm going to talk to you guys as a former player. You know, we kind of talked about Wisconsin really not needing those last two ball games, and not that they blew them away, but not maybe studying as hard for those last two ball games and getting ready for Nebraska. They actually had, 3 weeks to get ready for the Huskers. Talking as a former player, you guys, do teams, 30, 45 minutes a practice session, would they look that far ahead to start practicing against Nebraska for the Big Ten championship? Because they installed a lot of new stuff. They showed us a lot of different things. They didn't do that in a week's time. So does a team 3 weeks before an actual event actually set aside 30 to 45 minutes in a practice session to get ready for a game like this?
From my standpoint, of course, playing for Coach Osborne is a little bit different deal because it was such the next practice and the next game. But I really think that I would really be surprised. I would really be surprised if they had talked about preparing for Nebraska. Now, there's a couple different factors that I did see, though. First of all, there was five defensive starters or starters that came back that were able to play in this game that were not able to play in the Nebraska-Wisconsin game early in the season. So they were healthy for the first time. That's a factor. But I agree with you, Mike. I, you know, there were Bo Pelini downplayed it big time afterwards, saying, you know, 99% of the things that we saw, we were prepared for, we knew was coming. From my standpoint, I looked at it and I said, there's a lot of new stuff. If you looked at that jet sweep series that they ran out of some different formations, that was different. Now, maybe they'd shown it once or twice, you know, throughout the season, but that was a huge factor because everybody knew that Nebraska's defense was going to try to gum up the middle. Everybody was talking about our lack of depth in the interior line, playing inexperienced guys. So the jet sweep was a big part. That wildcat that they ran, especially that stuff they ran out of a nine-man line with nine offensive linemen up there, that's new. Our, you know, the shifting into the unbalanced line, that was new. The quarterback throwback was new. You know, there were a lot of new things. Now, certainly you don't put that stuff in just in, you know, 1 week. But I think that was all things that were in their package of offense that they said, you know what, this week, these are all things that Nebraska has not seen us do with much consistency.
So the offensive coordinator for Wisconsin maybe outpointed our defensive coordinator. He made the adjustments from that first series or that first ball game with Nebraska. He knew what the Husker defense was going to do, and he devised some things that got outside against the Husker defense a little bit.
Well, unfortunately, some nights in athletics, it's like someone going into the ER with multiple gunshot wounds. You know, you take care of the bleeding somewhere, and something else opens up, and you take care of one thing, and that's what I saw. You know, from the very first play that they ran, you know, not the second play that they ran, as far as that jet sweep, you know, bad angle. All of a sudden then, you know, they come back with something else, and we fix that, something else. I mean, I was laughing. I said halftime couldn't get there soon enough because there wasn't enough time in a halftime. You need an Orange Bowl-type halftime to make all the adjustments just from the X's and O's standpoint, let alone the psychology and that sort of thing. And to me, that you know, you talk about the repair that needs to be done. That's where the repair needs to be done, because I'm telling you what, when you get beat this badly after six wins and in a good season, there's some mental and psychological issues that really need to be dealt with.
70 points takes you back to the Texas Tech drubbing where Nebraska just turned it over every play. But the staggering number is Wisconsin rushed for more yards against Nebraska than any team in any game in history. And that is staggering. I mean, I know what the fans have to be thinking. How can this continue to happen? How could you not at least slow them down? I mean, you can't miss tackles every play, yet they did. We talked about this huge offensive line for Wisconsin, averaging about 320-some pounds, and poor Cameron Meredith, he was getting double-teamed and was never a factor, and they just kept kind of running that area all night long. I mean, there's going to be players that are blamed, but as Coach Pelini says, we were way beyond Baker Steinkuhler needing to be in this football game.
That certainly is the case. You know, you would, you know, your first few plays you look at, and boy, our safeties are bad. We're missing tackles. We're back at bad angles. And you look at the linebackers, and you look at, you know, the gaps that they were not taking care of and their missteps. And to tell you the truth, Doug, The 70 points, I know everybody wants to point to 70 points, and everybody wants to point to the rushing yards. And that's, don't get me wrong, that's horrible. But by the time we were midway through the third quarter, it really didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's such a psychological collapse there that everything that happened from that point on to me was just, it didn't matter. Now, I'm not saying we quit. I'm not saying we gave up. Don't get me wrong. But you know, does it really matter once it got to that certain point and we are just fighting for our lives, you know, in that second quarter, fighting for our lives in the third quarter, and we knew, everybody knew we were done. From that point, I don't know. All those yards and all those points, I don't know how big a deal it is.
Mike, didn't everybody think that Nebraska was going to come back? I mean, 14-0, it's only 2 minutes into the football game. Taylor makes the incredible run. They make the stop. They march down the field, and kind of like the Ohio State game where they marched down the field and then had to settle for a field goal instead of going up 21-7 on Ohio State at 17-7. They do the same thing here. Instead of tying the game at 14, Maher makes the field goal to make it 14-10. But even at that point, I still think almost everybody in the stadium thought, okay, Now things have settled down, and here comes Nebraska.
Yeah, you and I were both on the sidelines at that point. We're standing by the Nebraska bench at 14-10. They felt they were still very, very much part of the football game. We did, too. We thought, well, all right, we had a little rush to they shake off here and they get involved in the surroundings here. But then when they went down and took it in again, and then I think the real crusher obviously was the touchdown right before halftime. I thought at that point in time, we are a dead duck right there.
Oh, absolutely. And to me, that was I would like to go back and watch that series over and over again and no defensive calls and what the gap responsibilities were and where people were going, because I agree with you, because to me, the Badgers were trying to run out the clock. They were power running. You know, if we would have made a tackle, they probably wouldn't need it on the last play. But all of a sudden, they run a couple basic plays. They gash us for huge yards. We miss a tackle. We miss an assignment. And I totally agree with you. At that point, I was like, you know, we're over. I totally felt great. I mean, 14-0. You realize it was one minute into the game, and look where we were. And it was just devastating. And that was on a, you know, yeah, they got outside, and you thought, oh, we missed a tackle, we missed an assignment, and then we threw that interception. And that was not Taylor Martinez's fault. That wasn't necessarily Kenny Bell's fault. That was kind of a bad luck play. You turn around, you slip. He gets his hands on it just enough to slow it down. It goes into the guy's arms. It's 14-0, and everybody's going, uh-oh. But you're right, 14-10. I'm like, hey, we're going to battle. We're fine, and then the collapse. That's when the collapse happened.
Well, even at 35-10, if they wouldn't have scored that touchdown right before halftime, even at 35-10, I didn't feel real good. But I thought maybe the Huskers would make it a contest, and it would be a four quarter ball game, and we'd get back in to maybe a score or two. But boy, like I said, that crushing touchdown right before halftime, that was a backbreaker right there.
Yeah, and it was just an ugly second half from some of the plays to the officiating to some scrappiness out there and some flags and some bad calls. Nebraska got 2 15-yard personal foul penalties that had this game come down to one score, and that cost the game. That's what we'd be talking about today. But here's what I'll say as we go into our first break. And Tom Dienhardt is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, senior analyst of the Big Ten Network, to talk about the game, to talk about how Wisconsin did it, to talk about the seven teams that are going to bowl games. And I know, Mike, you've got to leave us after this first break. Is that right?
I can hang on for a few more minutes.
Okay, good. Good. Well, we'll have Mike hang on through the first break then. But here's my thoughts going into this. Okay, it is what it is. This is a 10-3 football team, and unfortunately, I think it's going to be a 10-4 football team. I talked about it last week. You don't want to lose this game for a bunch of reasons, because you want to win the conference championship. Get that off of your plate. Quit hearing about that. Go to the Rose Bowl. Play in a BCS game. Get that off your plate so you can hear about that. But you also don't want to have to play an SEC top 10 team, which you knew you were going to get if you lost this football game. And now Nebraska plays Georgia in the Capital One Bowl. Okay, all of that, and we'll get to that. We'll have a month to talk about that and how the psyche can bounce back. And Rex Burkhead rally the troops as a senior saying, listen, damn it, I didn't get to play much of this year. I want to win a bowl game. Here's what's going to happen. But Nebraska is still going to be a very good football team next year. They are going to be the favorites to win the Legends Division, to get back to Indianapolis. I'll have to say, it was a great place to host the game. Everything was great about it except the outcome of the football game. So just cool the jets. Give all of these guys, give all of these coaches. I can't expect, Monty, that any of these coaches are going anywhere unless Bo wants them to go somewhere. Get another year of experience under these young coordinators. And this football team, I think, is going to be even better next year. I felt that before this game. I still feel that way after this game.
Oh, and I agree with you, and I totally agree with you. But then, of course, I sound like the apologist sort of guy too, because the other side of that is yeah, but we gave up 70 points. Yeah, but this has happened before. Look how much we're getting blown out. I mean, I can argue both points, but I totally agree with you. We'll talk about that coaching stuff later.
Yeah, let's take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, where they have a lot full of new and pre-owned vehicles. Over 200 pre-owned vehicles in stock, trucks, SUVs, cars, whatever you're looking for on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Check out the all-new redesigned 2013 Chevy Malibu, starting at under $24,000. Always a great deal on the Chevy Silverados. You can get over $7,300 on the manufacturer suggested retail price on those new 2013s. And if you go over to the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram lot, they've got a bunch of 2012 and 2013 Rams on the lot. Maybe you're looking for something nicer as far as a car. Chrysler Town and Country, well, they have been around for years, starting at just over $28,000. See the gang at the Midway Auto Dealership. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
During the holiday season, more than ever, our thoughts turn gratefully to those who have made our progress possible. Thank you and best wishes for the holiday season and Happy New Year from CHS Agri-Service Center. People and resources you can count on. Always.
Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Terry Bradshaw. I've won a lot of games by 1 point, so I know the value of an extra point. My friends at Ferguson are fond of extra points, too. Ferguson's been the leader for plumbing and HVAC supply since 1953, so you always get what you need fast.
Touchdown!
And now when pros order online with Ferguson, you'll get Pro Plus Rewards points. Use these points to get stuff like sports gear, gadgets, and more. Check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com and tell them.
Fall is here, and for guys, that means one thing, football. Each week, nearly 12 million men settle into their favorite recliner to cheer on their favorite team. For men over 30, the inactivity creates lost muscle tone, reduced sex drive, and excess belly fat. This year, don't get sacked by the football season. Change your game plan with the help of Complete Nutrition's strongest, most potent youth energy and weight loss enhancer, the Charger Pack. With its new testosterone-infused formula, the Charger Pack delivers men over 30 the fastest, most undeniable results possible. Regain your muscle, recharge your libido, and sack stubborn belly fat with the Charger Pack, available exclusively from Complete Nutrition.
If you experience excessive weight loss in your first 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
May a star lead you, the wind be at your back, the road rise to meet you, and may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Happy holidays from everyone at Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
The Rose Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl, Cotton Bowl, and National Championship. The BCS. We bring you so close to the action. So close, you may want to consider wearing protective headgear.
That's what I call a close encounter.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1550 AM KICS Hastings, 1460 AM KXPN Kearney.
Partial sunshine for your Monday forecast. Winds turning to the northwest and blustery. We're at a high of 60. Tonight's skies do become mostly clear and a low of 27. I'm meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Currently 55.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Mike Will, Monty Kratz is tied with you on the program. Tom Deanhart is going to join us from the Big Ten Network here at the bottom of the hour, so stay with us for that as we continue our recap of Nebraska and Wisconsin from Saturday and where we go from here. But before we get back into that, Tom goes from Hastings. The email says, I can only imagine after the Saturday debacle, the point spread for the bowl game will be around 50. Tom and Hastings. Well, there's nothing, and I haven't double-checked in the last hour, but...
It's out. It's out.
Is it 12?
It's 10.
Is it 10?
It's already down to 10. That means they're taking the Huskers. You know, what's the attitude going to be for Georgia coming into that bowl game? Oh, I think the Huskers... don't fall off of your chair, guys. Don't fall off of your chair. I think the Huskers have a chance in this one. I really do. What's the mindset going to be for Georgia? They don't want to be there.
I will look.
They want to play in the national championship game. They lost a heartbreaker. They don't want to be there. If the Huskers can focus on the task at hand, I think Nebraska has a chance at this game.
Yeah, I don't think Nebraska wants to be there either. And I it's going to be hard. We got a month here. This is where you really kind of have to have some of that inside to know who's working hard and who's not. And I think at the end of the day, Georgia will put themselves in a position to make a run for a national championship next year. Nebraska is going to try and put themselves in a position to win a Big Ten championship, and that's kind of the same old song and dance. As of today, Mike, we will disagree on that. I will root for Nebraska and hope they do well, and I hope they win, but my gut today doesn't have that feeling.
Well, you know, guys, I think that one of the most difficult things about looking at bowl games is just what you said, Doug, the preparation between, you know, what gets done between now and then. The mindset is such a huge thing. I've never been one of those guys that really talked about, you know, what do they have to play for? Because I've seen over and over again, maybe Saturday, where you know, you go in there and a lot of guys said their argument was, well, Wisconsin, what do they really have to play for? They've had a disappointing season, you know. They obviously had nothing to lose as well. So I've seen it both ways. I don't know that I can hang my hat on one of those arguments or the other. The one thing I do know is this. You know, Nebraska certainly has something to prove. Their seniors have been good leaders, and that's a big part of it, because we go into that last game, that preparation for that last game, the mindset you have, this that old, let you know, make sure we send our seniors out right. And you mentioned Rex Burkhead, you know, and some of those seniors that have done great things for the program, the community, for the university. That's a big deal. But I also know this about Georgia. Georgia was one play away from winning the national championship.
Getting there.
I apologize. am I assuming that SEC is going to beat Notre Dame there? Oh, sorry, Damon Day. But they are obviously very talented. But another thing I know is Mark Richt is a class guy. Those guys are not going to lay down. They run a great program. And so, you know, I guess we have a month to talk about it.
Here's one for you from the Dent Popper inbox. Postal Chuck from Broken Bow says, just to clarify, is that spread 10 points or 10 touchdowns?
if it's 10 touchdowns or if it's 50 points, Mike, like you said, I think that I might have a dollar that I'd go ahead and put on the Huskers. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but you never know.
Let's take a look at our final results. It was our final pigskin pick'em. We'll have our bowl bonanza at the end of the year, end of this month, now that it is December. But Mike Will steps in and knocks one out of the ballpark. He goes 9-1 with his only loss. His only loss, Oklahoma State. I went 7-3, which takes it any other week on this program this year. The two of my losses were teams that had leads and lost in overtime. Kent State to Northern Illinois in the MAC championship, and South Florida or Central Florida to Tulsa. So I missed both of those. Those were the swing games, the two overtime games. But as excited as Mike from Hastings is, it was Greg from Hastings that also went 9-1, and he had the highest point total in the tiebreaker, which obviously with 101 points scored in the Big Ten championship game. Greg gets the $60 in Cunningham's gift cards, plus all the other great action all the other great entries with the 70-inch HD TV from Russell's, the Super Bowl party from the folks at Cunningham's, the Big Dally's Deli, large combo meal that he'll be able to enjoy there in Hastings. So congratulations to Greg, who had the best week of anyone this year, going 9-1. And your final results this year. Now, Merritt was
here we go.
Merritt was our producer. Well, they printed them out. I'm just reading them. Merritt, our producer, the two previous years before Jeff, actually won the contest last year. So he wanted to be in again this year to defend his title. Well, he finished last, but he did get above 500. He went 76-72. Our normal Friday host, Jim Langan, went 62-55. He finished in fifth. Randy Bushcutter, who had to fill in a few times, was 24-18. So that's 57%. He finished in fourth. Producer Jeff, 86-62, 58% win, 58.1, third. Our callers, our weekly callers, put them all together. They finished second at 58.7. They went 87-61. But, Jeff, would you call this blowing away the field to win at 91-57, 61.5%, me?
Hey, now, wait a minute.
A parade. I will need a parade.
Wait a minute.
No, Jeff, here's what I've got here. Here's what I've got. Now, I should Skype this right over to you. It says here, Ohio State ineligibility, Mike Will. That's what it says on the bottom. It says you are Ohio State and ineligible for the championship.
Why? I was a fill-in host for 1 week. I went 90%. I was 9-1.
You didn't play enough games.
You didn't give me a chance to play enough games. Can I at least go to a bowl game?
Yes.
Well, at least you let me participate in the bowl bonanza.
Just accept it. Unlike what was one of the Louisiana schools that went 9-3, they turned it down. I think that's why Ohio and Frank Solich got into a bowl game. It was because of a misstep by, was it Lafayette? Or Monroe, or which one was it?
I think it was Monroe, wasn't it?
It was Tech.
No, it might have been
Tech.
Carl Malone School.
Yeah, La Tech. They were offered. They said, hey, hold on. We're trying to see if one of the better bowls is going to call us. They said, well, we're not waiting. So yes or no? And they said no. And
I think I just had a flashback to 1986 homecoming. I think I was waiting for a better offer, and I think I ended up going.
Tom Deanhart's going to join us here in just a moment from the Big Ten Network. Mike, anything else before we let you get out of here?
I just hope fans don't go to the cliff and jump off. You know, support the Huskers. They had a bad game. It was just a bad night all the way around. We're not firing all the coaches. That's not the right step. You know. Like I said at the beginning of this thing, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, you start firing coaches with 10 wins, you see what happens. Like Bo said, when Dirk Chatelain asked him, is this a blip or is this, I don't know if aberration was the word, but is this where the program's at, that this is going to continue to happen? And, of course, Bo has that I'd like to choke you right now look. And so he asks it, you know, what do you mean? He goes, well, and then Bo goes, we were 10-2. And folks, you got to remember that they were 10-2 in a very competitive conference. Michael, we'll hear from you again. Hastings College basketball on Wednesday. We got volleyball going on with the Huskers, Storm, all kinds of things going on the airwaves. So, hey, thanks for the trip out to Indy.
All right, it was a good time. Thanks for asking.
Take care, Mike. Will, yep. With us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Monty Kratzenstein as well. Tom Deanhart's going to join us from the Big Ten Network in just a moment. Irish Ken has weighed in to talk about Notre Dame, the national championship game. I will say this, that Georgia-Alabama game, I think it just gives me more hope, and I think it gives a lot, and by saying that, I mean, I think it gives football fans hope that this national championship game could be a dandy.
Oh, we do have a little bit of time to talk about this, don't we, between now and then. And here's my soapbox, and I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 101 now. My least favorite thing about college football is the fact that we have to wait so long before we get into the bowl games that really mean something, and that's absolutely ridiculous. But having said that, there are three games in those BCS games that I'm really interested in. Two of them I don't really care about. But there's three good ball games. You look at Notre Dame, Alabama. You look at Stanford, Wisconsin. You look at K-State, Oregon. I think those games are fun.
Well, they could have some interesting contests out there. Mm-hmm. Seven Big Ten teams are going to bowl games. In case you missed them, let's run those off here for you. Those seven Big Ten teams that are going on. Of course, Wisconsin going to the Rose Bowl to play Stanford. Nebraska going to the Capital One Bowl to play Georgia. Michigan going to the Outback Bowl to play South Carolina. Northwestern will go to the Gator Bowl to take on Mississippi State. Michigan State will go to the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl to take on TCU. That could be interesting. Minnesota gets into a bowl game. They'll travel to the Meineke Car Care Bowl to take on Texas Tech. Weren't they in the battle for a national championship after a month, Texas Tech?
Yeah. Now they're not.
Yeah, and finally, Purdue, without a head coach in Danny Hope, will play in the Heart of Dallas Bowl, and they will take on Oklahoma State.
So...
And that won't be pretty.
So right now, in my mind, without even looking at all those matchups and analyzing it, trying to get into expert, I see us winning one game. The us is in the big. Look at me. Look at me go all Big Ten saying us. But I say the Big Ten wins one game out of that. How about that? Do you disagree right now off the top of your head?
Wow. Wisconsin, Stanford. You know what? Here's the Doug Duda early predictions.
Way early.
Way too way early predictions. And again, being clouded by what happened this weekend, I'll take Wisconsin over Stanford. I'll take Georgia to beat Nebraska. I will take Michigan, South Carolina. Wow. That is a toss-up because I know Michigan can win that football game. I'll come back to that. Northwestern, Mississippi State. Wow. TCU to beat Michigan State, Texas Tech to beat Minnesota, Oklahoma State to destroy Purdue, Northwestern and Mississippi State. I don't know enough about Mississippi State, but
Northwestern.
And then South Carolina's got some studs. I'll take South Carolina to beat Michigan.
When I looked at it, I said Northwestern might be the only team that wins a bowl game.
That is some tough stuff.
Yep.
That is some tough stuff. Let's take a break. We're back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Listen up, everybody. This is Flo with a Progressive Insurance Alert. Don't even try to change that channel. I'm on all of them. So, you already know Snapshot rewards our customers for their good driving. Well, now anyone can test drive Snapshot for free, even if you have insurance with another company. See how much you could save before you switch your insurance. Also, I'm offering kazoo lessons on Saturdays.
Test drive Snapshot today. Visit progressive.com/snapshot. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states.
Need a hand finding a gift for a do-it-yourselfer? This December, get your savings fix at Napa with some great deals on tools for the holidays. Pick up a gear wrench 7-piece ratcheting set in standard or metric on sale now at Napa for just $29.99. Or you can pick up a Crescent 5-piece locking plier set on sale now for just $26.99. Don't leave anybody on your list empty-handed this year. Hurry over to Napa, the handy place to get gifts for a handyman. See NapaOnline.com.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and a Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance Agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau Agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Partial sunshine for your Monday forecast, winds turning to the northwest and blustery. We're at a high of 60. Tonight's skies do become mostly clear and a low of 27. I'm meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Currently 55.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on a Monday. I do have to joke, Monty, because as we got up to get on the plane yesterday, all these Nebraska fans are at the airport, and we're getting ready to fly back as well. And it was kind of a gloomy, overcast day. I don't know that the sun did come up yesterday.
Once you got above the clouds, did you see the sun?
We had to get way up to about 36,000 feet is what they told us. So, folks, don't forget tomorrow the Doug and Daddy Show live on location at Dickie's Barbecue in Kearney. You can enter to win a Cajun deep-fried turkey for Christmas. We'll be giving away sandwiches and bottles of sauce. And to celebrate the Huskers' great season, they'll be honoring any of their daily $7.99 specials during the broadcast. Customers can order any of their daily special favorites for just $7.99. Tomorrow for lunch, the Doug and Daddy Show live at Dickie's Barbecue in Kearney. How great is the season? I still think it was a great season. It just went blah on a Saturday night. And Tom Dienhart, who was very busy all week getting ready for this championship game from the Big Ten Network, joins me, Doug Duda, and Monty Kratzenstein, former Husker, here on the program today. And Tom, thanks so much for the time. Is everyone still in shock for the way that game played out on Saturday?
I would say so. I mean, 70 points. You look up and it's 14-0 just like that, bing, bang, boom. So, yeah, it was a shock. I mean, again, I haven't seen many beatdowns like that. I was at the game in Boulder in 2001, 63-36 or something, and that was just a total head scratcher. And this one reminded me a lot of that, just a total head scratcher. And again, 70 points to team at 7-5. They came in losing two in a row and three of its last four. So you're right. And now Nebraska looks up and they're staring down Georgia, probably one of the top four or five teams in the country.
Tom, this is Monty Kratzenstein. You were around the team and the teams and the players and a lot of the atmosphere. Nobody sees 70 points coming. But did you have a feeling, a gut feeling, in hindsight, looking at both teams and what you thought? Because personally, I said, you know, three-point game, one way or the other, I thought it was going to be a battle. I thought it was going to come down to three or four plays, like a lot of those Big Ten games do. What did you see leading up to the game in hindsight now?
I was the same way. I think the official line was Nebraska was given three, and my prediction was for Nebraska by, I think it was less than a touchdown. So, I talked about the lack of momentum Wisconsin was bringing to Indianapolis. You factor in the momentum Nebraska was bringing in with a six-game winning streak, how well the defense had rebounded since the 63-point debacle at Ohio State. So this was totally inexplicable. Nobody can tell me that they saw anything close to this coming. Maybe a Wisconsin win, but never in this fashion. I know not having Baker Steinkuhler had an impact on the defensive line, but boy, to see him get manhandled up front like they did by Wisconsin's front was a real eye-opener.
Tom Dean Hart, senior analyst, Big Ten Network, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. It's always obvious for Nebraska's rose-colored glasses to break down Nebraska. What does this game say about where both programs are at in your mind, Tom?
Again, I never want to overreact positively or negatively to any one event. I don't think you ever can judge anything on any one event. But for Nebraska, this is three times now in the 2012 season. You've seen the defense get totally blown up. Of course, the game at UCLA where they gave up, I believe, 653 yards, the second most Nebraska ever allowed in a game. I referenced the 63-point loss at Ohio State, and now this, again, a 70-point shellacking by Wisconsin. So there's got to be something there defensively. I refuse to think the coaches have forgot how to coach between Pelini and Papuchis. That defense, you know, schematically has to be told what to do. They know what to do, but can they carry that out? And again, I think it's probably still maybe to a degree maybe a personnel issue. You know, Nebraska was winning a lot of close games too, guys. That's not news to you or your listener. But again, they were never giving up all these types of points. But again, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times. There's something there with that defense that's obviously missing. And I guess I tend to think it's probably still a personnel issue.
You know, Tom, when the big question that I have is at what point does it become a psychological issue to the point of, these are kids that, yeah, they might have a lot of confidence, a lot of swagger going through the tunnel and running on the field, but, you know, at what point does it become a situation where you're afraid you're going to get blown out? You're afraid of this avalanche happening. And one thing I've said throughout the season is I'm a big Bo Pelini and his staff supporter, and I believe Husker Red. But the one thing you can pinpoint is when things start going bad, they go downhill real fast. And that's why I was so encouraged with these six wins when it came down to Michigan State, Northwestern, and Wisconsin early in the year, how they came back and they were resilient. Yeah. And that was, it's such a setback at this point.
You're exactly right. The resiliency to come back, well, from 17 against Wisconsin back in September. I was at the game at Northwestern. I thought that game was over after Northwestern scored early in the fourth quarter. I think it was a 14-point deficit. Nebraska came back from that. Of course, I think it was 10 points at Michigan State. So on and on it went. You're right. Then they were punched in the face, had every reason to want to fold their tent, but wouldn't fold their tent. So I guess from a psychological standpoint, I thought maybe Nebraska was stronger, but boy, there has to be some doubt in your mind when things really start going south, though, that there's something sometimes it looks like it's clicking, and obviously, if I had an answer, I'd be the head coach of Nebraska. So it's probably a complex thing, but I think the psychological factor has to be part of it. I think there had to be a point Saturday night where maybe Nebraska thought, oh, here we go again. And that psychological switch did flip for them. And again, you saw it go downhill awfully fast. And I think inconsistency has sort of been an unwanted trademark of the Bo Pelini era, honestly. They followed up some terrific wins in the past with some head-scratching losses. And again, it's just been hard to string together, I guess, a lot of consistency, although this year was the best yet, with 10 victories. So, you know what, I guess they have one more chance. I tell you what, guys, a victory over this Georgia team would cure an awful lot of ills. But again, that's going to be a tall task.
Tom, were you in the majority when Martinez runs it back and Nebraska kicks the field goal 14-10? Did you think, well, Nebraska still has this, or were you still worried at that point?
Well, I thought that was an incredible play. I thought they were right there still. Obviously, that's a very manageable score. There were points there where they were still in the ball game. I tell you what, when Martinez drops back to pass and he starts scrambling around, I guess I start to flinch a little bit. I thought he made some dubious throws. There's some dubious decisions in the passing game, obviously, under duress. And, again, some ill-advised throws, some poor throws, too. So, in some ways, he was his own worst enemy. And again, you know, turnovers, as you guys know, have been a real big issue. I think, you know, he lost a fumble once. And how many interceptions did he throw, two or three? So, again, you got to protect the football. And, again, some of his decisions kind of left you scratching your head a little bit.
You know, we've talked throughout the season about how Taylor Martinez is this enigma. You know, he is close to having 4,000 yards after the bowl game. He will be close to having 4,000 yards for the total yards for the year. And there's still even Nebraska fans who are not Taylor Martinez fans. And it's just such a strange phenomenon. I don't think I've ever seen in college football. Well, you know what? Maybe Denard Robinson's like that because he's similar sort of a situation. But when you look at the year that Taylor Martinez has had, you know, incredible year, incredible numbers, incredible plays, but still there's just what you said, that ball security and decision-making issue that always seems to be there.
I think when you almost, it's not one for one, but when you have those bad plays, they erase obviously a lot of the good ones you do have. And unfortunately, sometimes fans focus on the negative. So you're right, I think his lack of consistency maybe has led him not to be embraced like he fully should, because I think he's got just about every significant record already over there with another year to play. So we'll see where it goes. That offense-wise, I'll tell you, those wide receivers, the running backs, the tight ends, there's a lot of great weapons there. So, again, you just got to be wise with the football and not put your defense in bad situations by committing turnovers.
Well, one of the unfortunate things is sometimes the quarterback gets too much credit or too much blame. And if you would have told me going into it that we were going to score 31 points, I would have said, you know what, we got a good shot.
Oh, good shot. I'd have said that's a guaranteed win.
I know. I thought about that at one point. Boy, I said, if you told Bo, you're going to get 31 points, he'd probably rub his hands together and said, I'll take it. nobody envisions you giving up 70. And it just looks so utterly bad. I mean, with the way some of the missed tackles, you know, I guess Neil Bo always talks about lack of execution. Yeah, I'm sure there's lack of execution, guys, I guess, in the right gaps. But still, there were some of those runs where guys weren't touched, where the tackling looked like it was half-hearted. I mean, the post-game press conferences, you know, the players said their routine was the same. They did nothing different. People said, well, they didn't have a walkthrough at Lucas Oil Stadium like Wisconsin. Everybody was looking for some excuse, but it was business as usual for Nebraska. And, again, they just, like I said, looked so bad, and tackling looked really spotty on some of those big plays by Wisconsin that, in some ways, I felt embarrassed for them a few times.
And just a minute left here with Tom Dienhardt, senior analyst of the Big Ten Network, with us on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. A couple other things I want to touch on real quick, Tom. If you haven't turned your Heisman ballot in today across the country, today's the day to do it. I still haven't done it. Who's on your number one line, and are you or would you consider Monte Ball or Braxton Miller to be in the top three?
You got till 5 o'clock. You better hustle here. 5 o'clock Eastern.
That's what I do.
I sent mine in this morning. I've got Johnny Football on top. Manti Te'o number 2, and I put Braxton Miller 3.
Miller over Ball?
Yeah, I put Miller over Ball. I just voted Monte Ball for the Doak Walker vote over Kenyon Barner and James Franklin. But you know what? I just think what Miller meant to that Ohio State team, I mean, to go 12-0. And look at that offense, guys. Pick me out one other guy on that offense that you quiver and quake and are really in fear of.
No doubt.
I mean, Miller, I know Ball was a marked man every week, too, but they had James White, and before he got hurt, Joe Staley was a pretty good quarterback. And he had Jacob Pederson, the best tight end of the Big Ten, right? Jared Aberderis, the first-team All-Big Ten wide receiver. So, again, you could make a case for Ball and not look and look fine doing it. I just thought Miller was singularly great almost from game 1 to game 12. And again, his team went 12-0. And you guys saw him breaking ankles left and right seemingly every week as the guy that defenses had to stop. Some defenses did slow him down late in the year. But again, by and large, he was just tremendous.
Finally, Tom, 7 Big Ten teams make it into bowls. A normal year it would have been 9 with Penn State, and Ohio State obviously would have been eligible to go. My partner, Monty Kratzenstein, says, I can see the Big Ten going 1-6 because of the matchups. I had a little bit better view of it, but it doesn't seem like the Big Ten is going to be a favorite in a lot of these games. Just your quick thought on the 7 games.
I agree. I wonder if they're going to be a favorite in any of these ball games. Purdue, Oklahoma State, no. You know, Texas Tech against Minnesota, no. Maybe Michigan State against Texas Christian, I doubt it. And you go over to Florida with your game. Georgia's going to be a heavy favorite. Maybe Northwestern over Mississippi State. And then Michigan against South Carolina. Boy, I think Gamecock's going to be a favorite. So I agree. I mean, all I say is brace yourself for some more Big Ten abuse on January 2nd when all these bowls become final, I guess. I hope I'm wrong, but again, matchups do not look good.
Last question for Tom Dienhart, Big Ten Network, because we love doing it. Give me your top 3 Big Ten teams going into next year.
Ohio State, probably a top 3 team in the nation. Michigan. And then I'll put the Huskers 3. Maybe Wisconsin, but how about that? I'll go Nebraska/Wisconsin 3. But again, without a doubt, Ohio State's going to be the clear favorite. Michigan was a young team, very young team, with a handful of seniors. They'll be better. I mean, look at their schedule, guys. They lost 4 games. Do you realize that 3 of those games are the top 3 teams in the AP poll right now? So, again, the other one was at Nebraska when the quarterback got hurt. So, again, Michigan 2, and again, that third slot, I haven't done a lot of analysis on the other teams, but I know, again, Martinez is back. What, Abdullah's back? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So, again, I think between them and Wisconsin, you know, at that 3 slot right now.
Well, Tom, we appreciate you joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show with your analysis, opening surmise, and just giving us some good info. Enjoy the bowl season, my friend.
You too. Be good. Take care, guys. Take care.
Tom Dienhart.
Thanks, Tom.
Big Ten Network senior analyst. He agrees with you.
Oh, well.
Not that I'm surprised by that.
Oh, Dad, you had a little surprise in your voice. Come on.
Well, yeah, he points out, heck, they might not be favored in any of them.
Yeah, that's probably true, and I don't think that's, but.
Don't you look at your bowl alignments then? Because this is the way it's always going to be, folks. Until you change it up, your number 4 is going against their number 2, or your number 5 is going against their weak conference number 1.
How's this change after next? Do the bowl alignments change after, once we get a quote playoff after next year, do the bowl alignments and affiliations change?
Well, I know all of these guys try to shake down and secure long contracts, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of these are new contracts. And when Nebraska came in, there was some changing of who goes where and what the affiliation are. So, and again, there's a couple more out there because there's at least 8 or 9 slots for Big Ten teams, but they couldn't use them because with Penn State and Ohio State not being eligible, there weren't enough other teams to get in. Our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show, taken care of by our friends at BK. Stop by for breakfast and enjoy one of their warm dough-filled cinnamon rolls, the Mini Buns. From 6 to 11, breakfast every day at BK. Two locations, Kearney, also North Platte, Cozad, and Lexington.
Are you looking for affordable, high-speed internet? Then Arcom has the service you're looking for. Whether you're in town or rural, Arcom can offer you high-speed internet for only $25 a month. That's right, just $25 a month. Get all your online needs met before the Christmas rush. Don't wait. Call today, 308-237-7266. That's Arcom for just $25 a month. Call today and get free installation. Arcom, 308-237-7266. Call now.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. I want to tell you about some exciting menu changes starting this month. From gourmet burgers and eight flavors of real New York-style buffalo wings to prime Nebraska beef and barbecue brisket smoked in-house. I also want to remind you we have the perfect spot for private dining. So whether it's Tommy's birthday party, Sally's going away party, your company Christmas party, or you just want to bring the gang from work down for a drink.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Monday, it's an NFC East showdown as the first place New York Giants take on the Washington Redskins. Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of Dial Global Radio Sports. Join Boomer Esiason and me live from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth in the nation's capital for all the action. Will quarterback Eli Manning and the Giants build on their win over the Packers? Or will RG3 and the Redskins win their third consecutive game? Tune in to find out. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Partial sunshine for your Monday forecast. Winds turning to the northwest and blustery. We're at a high of 60. Tonight's skies do become mostly clear and a low of 27. I'm meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Currently 55.
So you had a bad night.
Nice.
At least you slept well if your Serta mattress and a bedroom set came from Bruce Furniture in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, or Alliance. They've been taking care of their customers since 1977. Mike and the gang of Bruce Furniture, they've been there for the wins where you needed some place to crash and have a good sleep, and they've been there for the losses when you had to cry yourself to sleep, and they've been there for everything else in between. They take care of you with what you want for your home, for your office, for your apartment, for your bedrooms, for your kitchens, wherever you need it. Color, size, style, price, it's all right there for you. Bruce Furniture, don't forget it is December, folks. Holiday time. Go in, check things out at Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Now our ESPN Superstation poll over the weekend, what will be the number one key to the game? 71% said Nebraska limiting turnovers. 29% said Nebraska not falling behind early. One of the choices was not tackling. That was not one of the choices, so that wasn't on here. Folks, your poll question today. Oh, we also had, did you agree with David Stern? That was Saturday, our special show Friday. Did you agree with David Stern punishing the Spurs? 90% said no.
I don't agree either.
Yeah,
I didn't get a weigh-in on that. No NBA stuff for me.
Here is your poll question for today. Did Northern Illinois deserve a BCS bowl bid? A, by the rules, they deserved it. I guess the question should read, do you think Northern Illinois should be in a BCS bowl? The answer is no.
Agree.
They lost to Iowa. That's okay. What Herb Street said this morning. They lost to Iowa, the worst team in the Big Ten, he said.
He did say that.
There you go, Iowa. We may have got beat 70-31, but you are the worst team in the Big Ten.
Wow.
And,
yeah.
And we only beat you by six.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of time to talk about those bowl matchups in the BCS before we're all done.
Adam and Holdridge to the Dent Popper inbox. Be careful what you wish for. That is the single dumbest argument I hear from Husker fans. We can't fire this guy? At least he's better than Callahan. Please, you can't continue to compare everything to Callahan's time here. We all know that was a failure. Why is everyone compared to our worst hire? This dog food isn't very good, but at least it isn't the turd sandwich I ate 5 years ago. Oh, and last time I checked, Bo chose those players to be on his team. Where does the buck stop? They don't recruit themselves. I'm tired of excuses. I'm tired of Capital One bowl beatdowns. I'm tired of being a laughingstock. Fix it. Adam and Holdridge.
Adam, see, now we're getting to where I thought we'd get this morning. I thought it took us a while, but we got to that. Adam and Holdridge decides he wants to make some changes. I'd love to say, hey, okay, Adam, you got a magic wand. You're the AD. Let's fix it. Fire him. Who are you going to get?
Exactly. And a whole staff, because if you're getting rid of Bo, you're getting rid of everybody.
Yeah, and I do agree with Adam from the standpoint of, you know, you don't want to always compare everything to the worst or to the best, and that's what we usually do, right? You know, Bo Pelini is not Tom Osborne. Well, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of guys that aren't Tom Osborne. And the other side of it is Bo Pelini isn't Bill Callahan. Well, there's a lot of guys that aren't there either. So, yeah, I do agree with that. There has to be some middle ground there.
Irish Ken. Howdy, howdy, says Irish Ken. I figured I better lay low for a while and let all those Notre Dame haters have their moment in the sun, telling everyone the Irish are way overrated. Time will tell. Now to the Saturday night slaughter. There are several attributes that define an athlete: desire, talent, instinct, training. To some degree, a lack of talent can be compensated for by an above-average portion of the other three. But what I saw Saturday was players low on talent, devoid of instinct to quickly adjust to unexpected events on the field, and a lack of, as Bo says, want to. Bo will tell you they didn't execute. You can't coach something that isn't there. So Nebraska, for your fans' sake, figure out how to recruit players with talent that want to play hard every down. That's the magic, and you got to find a way to get over that hump. And Saturday was a huge way to get over that hump. Win a conference championship, give yourself a chance to win a Rose Bowl, finish in the top 10. You're probably going to get better recruits. You're going to get better players. They want to be here.
And the multiple people that was texting me, and I was texting during the game, you know, commiserating with each other. You know, the one thing I said was that's really too bad is, first of all, this does, for a lot of people, just absolutely destroy the season. It was a good season, as you said.
It was a fun season.
A lot of good things happened along the way, but, you know, something like this, for some people, it absolutely ruins it and it turns everything into a failure. That's the first bad thing. The second bad thing is, you know what, a year from now or 51 weeks from now, if we're in the big game again, we're going to have to until we win one of these games. It's very similar to Coach Osborne, right? Coach Osborne playing for him, 11-2 was not good enough. You know, until you win that big one, you are always, that monkey is on your back, and that monkey with the 70 giving up 70 points, that monkey's a gorilla, and it's just huge. And unfortunately, we're going to be talking about it every time we get into one of these big games.
We've got a whole lot more on the guest list for the rest of the week, and we'll get into that tomorrow. Damon Day, my co-host, we're live from Dickie's Barbecue in Kearney, top of the hill. Looking forward to being up there tomorrow. We're going to be giving away Cajun deep-fried turkeys that you can use for Christmas or any time. We're giving away holiday T-shirts, sandwiches, sauce that's so good at Dickie's. And, of course, you can come in during lunch tomorrow, $7.99, any of their daily specials. Just because it's Tuesday, you can have the Thursday special. You can have the Friday the special all tomorrow, live from Dickie's Barbecue, getting you ready for the holidays. Now, real quickly, it wasn't all football over the weekend, just mostly football. And let's take a look at a couple of the other things that went on. The Husker volleyball team closes out the NU Coliseum in style by crushing Northern Iowa 25-21, 16-21. The Huskers now will advance on to the Omaha Regional, which will have The first matchup between Oregon and BYU Friday night at 5, followed by Nebraska playing Washington. They've had some epic matchups. And then the winners will meet in the Elite Eight on Saturday, with the winner heading to the Final Four in Louisville. The American Volleyball Coaches Association has announced their Division II All-American teams. UNK libero Liz McGowan, just a sophomore, is a first-team All-American. Setter Jenna Rose is a second-team All-American. Ariel Krolikowski receives honorable mention. Three girls from Concordia St. Paul are on the first team. Let's remember that the Lopers took them to four sets on their home court in the Sweet 16, where their season came to an end on Saturday. I think UNK might be the second best team in the country, and those awards do not reflect that, and I think that is a travesty. But they lost the first, they won the first set Saturday 25-18. And that's after beating two other great volleyball teams ranked in the top 10 of the nation. And then if they could have got that second set, 23-all, but they lost at 25-23 and then 25-19, 25-20. The Lopers ranked second. It was the national championship. Concordia St. Paul, go win it all. And now that you've beaten the Lopers, 35-3 season for UNK.
Great season. And one of the great things about that team is, again, you talked about the McGowan girl, the Rose girl, local talent. Right, and that's what makes it so fun. They're easy to cheer for because the way they do things, how hard they play, and it's a lot of homegrown talent, which is always fun.
Big Ten basketball players of the week are out. Former Lincoln Southeast product KK Hauser out of Purdue is the women's basketball player of the week. And just, Monty, to show you how crazy this weekend was and everything else that's been going on, the Big Ten men's basketball player of the week is Nebraska's Andre Almeida.
The world is upside down.
Andre and the Huskers will now get ready to host Southern California tonight at 7 o'clock. The game is on the Big Ten Network and 1230 KHAS. We talked about the storm dropping a pair at Fargo. They have a four-game homestand beginning Friday night. They'll host Sioux Falls at 7:30. Team USA comes in Saturday at 3:05. Kearney High boys and girls basketball both finished second in the Hays City Shootout. Kearney Catholic boys and girls both winners of the Central Catholic early season basketball tournament. Hastings High, Adams Central, St. Cecilia, all those teams getting their seasons underway in regular season action. Grand Island wins the Kearney wrestling invite by 40 points over Lincoln Southwest, followed by North Platte, Bellevue West, and Kearney. Hastings finishes in seventh. Finally, Adam says one more time, I'm not saying fire Bo. I said fix it. There is a very distinct difference. I didn't say Bo was or wasn't the answer, but what I do know is what is there is not right. What's there isn't right. Something isn't working. The decision to fire or keep Bo is way above my pay grade, but that doesn't mean that I can't see the red flag.
I think everybody could see red flags. You are absolutely right. There's a lot of red flags. Now, how do you fix it? That's the challenge.
Let's see here. Should we read that one? Sometimes
do we get a vote? Do we get a vote?
I'm trying to. The first line here is someone told me that. I see what Trent says. Someone in one of our fine establishments in the Tri-Cities told me to fire Bo. I said, who are you going to get? He said, guy from Kansas. I said, who, Mangino? He said, no, that Turner guy. I have a feeling that is the intelligence of 90% of what fire Bo guy possesses. I look at the young studs we have coming. We need linebackers and defensive linemen, and we've got them, but they're all freshmen. Patience, please. Thank you. From disappointed but proud Husker fan.
I'm with him.
It does stink, though.
Oh, it's the most painful thing you go through. But you know what? What do you do?
It's a long time to get, and there's no guarantees to even get back to Indianapolis.
And if you and I feel that bad and our listeners feel that bad, how do you think those guys riding that plane home, watching the film yesterday or today? Oh, that's horrible.
Horrible, horrible, horrible. But they are the Nebraska football team, and that's what this state revolves around, and off to Georgia, as I said, or off to play Georgia, the Capital One Bowl. Get the tickets, folks. It's Florida. It's going to be beautiful weather and probably not a big crowd, so you might be able to enjoy yourself more at this bowl game than at most. It's a crazy way to look at it, but it is true. We'll talk more about it. Dickie's Barbecue tomorrow with a lot more guests as we kind of transition into the winter sports season and talk about Andre Almeida. the Big Ten Player of the Week. Monty Kratzenstein, thanks for the time today.
Always fun.
Mike Will, want to thank him for joining us, not only today, but over the weekend in Indianapolis. Tom Deanhart from the Big Ten Network. Folks, enjoy it. Find out more at Huskers.com, and we will be back tomorrow at 11.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.